What's up, idiots?
Yeah, you fucking dumb bastards.
Turn it off now, assholes.
It's about to get fucking... This is a mean cast now. You came here for abuse, and we are fucking doling it out.
What's up, cucks?
Yeah. You might as well call us a fruit company, because we're here to dole it out.
Oh, God. And just like that, it's over.
Oh man!
Oh, that's so funny. What is the beginning line? The beginning word of the opening song?
Oh,
downtown.
Okay.
Downtown.
No, it is. I completely stole this from a football player who plays for the Cincinnati Bengals.
Okay,
his name is Adam Pac-Man Jones. He is one of my favorite football players. He is a fucking psychopath. Before I liked football, I worked as a bar back in Cincinnati, Ohio, and I saw him. He didn't start the fight, but he fucking definitely got into it.
He finished it.
Yeah, and this is the kind of guy that he is. He got in a fucking, like, bare-knuckle brawl in this bar. I saw him hit somebody in the head with a champagne bottle, and he did this all while wearing a fucking neck brace.
Oh, my God.
And then I saw him go on the news the next day. He's like, I didn't do anything. I didn't touch anything. That's the funniest fucking...
And nobody's going to corroborate the story either.
Yeah. But on his Instagram, he takes a bunch of Instagram videos of like all kinds
of
shit.
Oh, this is a niche reference.
Yeah. But I just think it's so funny. He goes, whenever he's at the Bengals training facility, they have, you know, they have like hot and cold tubs to like ease muscle pain. Anytime that he gets into the cold tub, he like takes his phone out. He's like, everybody knows what time it is. And that's what you hear in the middle when it goes, everybody knows what time it is. But at the beginning, he just goes, cold tub! And that's what the start of our theme song is. It's Adam Pac-Man Jones.
That is the most neat. Is there anybody else that knows that other than Adam Pac-Man Jones?
No, probably. But it just makes me laugh super hard. If you you don't even need to like football. Just follow him on Instagram. Oh my God.
What position does he play?
He's a cornerback. He's pretty good.
Cornerback. Okay.
Yeah,
those guys are nuts.
Yeah.
Josh Norman.
Yeah. And they're all, he's like that kind of corner where you're like shorter, but like a crazy good athlete.
Yeah.
He's probably only got a couple years left in him, but he's very good.
Yeah.
And also a crazy. Tom Segura, the great comedian, has a bit. Friend of the pod. He has a bit in his new special, and it is true. He's like, how should I describe Pac-Man Jones? And he goes, one time he went to a strip club. And a bunch of people got shot. And then that happened two more times. And that is true.
That's so funny.
So that's the start of our theme song.
But as a Panthers fan, as a fan of another small market team, I need you to cut it.
Oh, okay. Yeah. We'll put in Cam Newton or Josh Norman in his Panther days.
Yeah.
Saying something.
Yeah.
Welcome to Up Your Button Around the Corner with me, Sam Evans.
And me, Jordan Huggins.
Are you cutting it?
I don't know. Jordan Scott Huggins. Okay. Yeah,
I think you should keep it. But it's your world. You
That's
know?
True. Yeah. And we're just playing in it.
Now we got a lot to get to today.
Yes.
Before we do anything else, we're gonna be better at this. Let's
plug it.
Let's plug our. Let's plug up your butt.
Let's plug.
Get ready to have your
time to plug up your butt.
Yeah. Get at us. Okay. We got our Instagram and we got our Twitter handle. It's Up Your Butt Pod, or at Up Your Butt Pod. And then Gmail's upyourbuttpod@gmail.com.
Hit us. So
fucking get after us. Talk to us. Tell us what you like, what you don't like. Do you have questions? We'll talk. We'll answer them.
That would be great. Yeah.
Yeah.
I would just love interaction, you know?
Yeah.
I was thinking this is going to come out much later, but we just released our first episode, got some feedback. A friend of mine who listened to it, Melissa. She was like, you guys are just so nice. And she's like, but if there is going to be one person that everybody hates, it's going to be me.
That's what she says?
That's what she says. She's like, because there's no way it's going to be Sam.
Really?
And I'm tired of it, Sam. I'm tired of this.
Well, Melissa, thank you so much. I got feedback from Carmen, friend of the pod, guest of the pod. Yes. You guys will find out soon. She said we are just very cute together.
Oh, that's so very cute. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Watch out, Carmen. I'm coming for your man.
Yeah, yeah. I'm trying to think if there's anything else. Yeah, and again, this will be released a little bit later. But today, I think if you have free time, I'm going to make you listen to some of the episodes. At this point, you've realized that the audio quality of this podcast can be spotty at best.
I think it's good.
I need you to know that I'm always working on it. We are always working on it.
We're
always trying to get better.
Also, you'll never hear me complain because you do so much more work than I do. By that, I mean you do all of the work and I do none of the work.
You did, Jordan, to give you a little peek behind the curtain, everybody, Jordan biked here today because the trains to my house this weekend are a little messed up.
I am a saint. So
you are a saint.
Yeah.
Saint Jordan. Now, let's fucking get into
it.
Before anything else happens, I need you. We got a couple stories each. I had told Jordan that I had a story for the pod, and I sent him a quick summary sentence. And then a couple days after that, I get a text message from Jordan, and it says, "I have a story for the pod." And then that picture is included with a story, that picture comes with that text message, and it is Jordan with a fucking full front row of teeth.
I got a grill, baby. Thank you. Thank you. I got fake teeth.
You got fake teeth.
I got the flipper.
It was the most adorable picture I've ever seen because you're just smiling, I think still in the dentist chair because you have a slightly bloody.
Yeah, I was hoping you wouldn't cringe to that, but I'm in the chair. Freshly installed teeth.
Maybe we should tweet that out on our Twitter. Is that weird?
We could do that. I could post it on Instagram.
When this one comes out,
good. Yeah. I'll make a calendar note.
Yeah.
Tweet the bloody picture of me.
Now, I didn't realize until, and this also happened today, before. I didn't realize that you had gotten the flipper instead of, because we're sitting here, I'm checking levels, trying to get everything set up, and then Jordan goes, "Oh, hey," and then I look over again. Now two front teeth completely gone, and I'm like, "Oh, did something happen?" And he goes, "No, I just this thing smells really bad right now,"
which is so gross. It hadn't even occurred to me that it might smell, but I never had a retainer. Have you ever had a retainer or anything before?
Not for years and years.
My sister had Invisalign, mm-hmm. But did your retainer like smell or anything?
You know what? I was so young and I resented it so much that I didn't give a shit. Oh, but I think I just had a nighttime retainer.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. But that's pretty funny.
The most sultry of retainers. Yeah. So I have a flipper, mm-hmm. and it looks just like, did you see it?
I saw it when you took it out. Yeah, yeah.
It's just like it spans the four front teeth.
Yeah.
So my two missing ones
and
it
fits over the surrounding teeth, I'm guessing?
It fits like there's like plastic claws. It's molded around the two teeth. So it's, excuse me, I just burped, but.
It's okay.
It would be similar to a Maryland bridge, which is where they implant a tooth and then the name. I don't know why it's so funny, Maryland Bridge.
Maryland Bridge, yeah.
But it's two teeth, two fake teeth, and then they are secured by the teeth on either side.
I love that so much. Yeah. Congratulations. It looks really good, I think.
I appreciate it.
Now, let me ask you some logistical questions.
Mm-hmm.
Can you or are you supposed to be eating with your flipper in?
Objectively, no. Okay. Do I? Yes.
Well, you got to be careful, man. You don't want to break your flipper.
I know, but I haven't. That's the thing is, like, since I broke my teeth, mm-hmm. I haven't been able to bite into anything. Effectively. So, first of all, I think I'm done with apples in life.
Yeah.
Although there is that great Bargatze joke where he's like, if I'm eating an apple, I'm cutting it up. Don't give it to me whole. I'm not a horse. You know? So
I've never heard that, but that's very funny.
Now that he puts it that way, I will only cut up my apples, but...
But also, and I'm not trying to shit on apples, because I'll happily eat an apple, a Honeycrisp, Pink Lady.
I'm a Fuji boy.
But, and Fuji's great, but you know what? If you say you can never have apples again, I'm not crying. I'm not losing sleep. Yeah. Are you losing sleep?
I don't know. I mean, maybe it's just because you've told me I can't have a food before, ever, you know?
Oh, yeah.
How dare you keep getting in the way of my love?
Yeah. Of the Fujis.
Yeah.
And the Pink Ladies.
Fujis and Funyuns. Yeah, so I have these fake teeth, got them, and I gotta say, man, my confidence has never been higher. It's been great.
It looks really good, man.
I think it's honestly going to help my job search. It has. Got a new job.
Yeah, yeah.
Temporary bartending job. That's LIC.
That was the other thing. Yeah, Jordan. I was so excited to have a funny story for this episode podcast, and then I realized that you were coming in here. I'm going to title this episode "Everything's Coming Up, Jordan," because you got new teeth, you got a job, I'm not going to spoil it, but my story is kind of on the other end of the spectrum. I am not doing well. But yours, okay, so you got a job.
So I got a job.
Where is the bar that you're working
at? It's in Long Island City. It's like northeastern corner by a soccer field, bunch of new high-rises. I don't want to say the name of it, but...
Sure, don't say the name of it.
Cocktail and coffee bar.
Oh, really?
It's like a bartender at night, yeah.
Okay.
Who knows, man?
I'm going to come hang out.
Temporary thing. You should.
I will.
Let me get a feel for it.
It's going to be my new haunt.
All of you come hang out. Let me get a feel for it. And then, if I get a good feel, free drinks all day.
Free drinks all day?
Yeah. They're like, we have just... Jordan, since you started, we have doubled our patronage. But our sales are in half.
I can't wait for them to find out you're a comedian, listen to your podcast, and be like, Jordan, can you come in here? This is going to be...
You know, but honestly, I think it's worth it for the new follower.
Yeah. You also don't have to give me free drinks, man. I'm just going to come and bug you.
No, that's my first thing. It's like, I want so desperately for people to like me. It's like, okay, what can I give to you?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Mm.
I get it. I'm the exact same way. That is why this podcast works.
So, you, though...
Oh,
hit me, baby.
We can go ahead. I'm not really worried about it. But I was like, we had four big things to talk about. We're moving on to number three. But I don't care.
You want to wait to get to it and then or do you want to do it now? Loop back around?
We can go on ahead. If you don't have anything else you want to talk about, your teeth or your job.
No.
Or I don't know. What? Did your dick get bigger too? What's that? Yeah, I woke up and it was like meteor.
Dick's bigger, butthole tighter. Oh, and having sex more. You know, I'm actually having sex right now. So there is one thing.
I don't want to pry too much.
Yeah.
You know what? That is prying too much. I was going to ask you about how your home sex life is. Man, that's your fucking business. And I shouldn't.
It's good.
I do remember you saying early on, Melissa was like, I mean, yeah, it's very unattractive, your teeth situation.
Oh, yeah. But since the teeth have changed, that's a good question. Well, I just got them last Tuesday, and then I have family in town this weekend.
That's right.
Melissa's, I called them her aunt and uncle, but that's just their age category. They're really her cousins, so it's like a weird...
I've had people like that, cousins who seem like... Or some people have aunt and uncles where it's like, well, really, they're more like a brother or sister.
So they're in town. They're staying with us in our incredibly tiny apartment this weekend. Mm-hmm. Long weekend. They did Friday to Tuesday. But I love them. They're great. I don't want to talk bad about them.
No.
It's just...
You're not talking bad.
I think the thing with any time somebody comes into town... especially in New York, you have to play tour guide all for the entire time that they're here, you know? And so, especially if they're staying with you. And so that has grown tedious because we're running out of local haunts. Yeah.
I get it.
And
have you done, I mean, this would be the first thing that I would do because you guys live by there. Do you take them, and it's not like a time consuming thing, but do you take them for a jaunt on the Roosevelt Island tramway?
You know, it's actually funny. We were going to, it was on the to-do list. At the beginning of the weekend, Melissa and I were talking it up a lot. We were like, oh, it's great. There's a great park on the southern tip of the island. It's just fun. You know, it's the same cost as the subway ride. And then the later in the weekend that we got and the more tired we got, the more we started talking them out of going to Roosevelt Island.
It's not that great.
I love it, but it's also like give or take, you know, it's like,
yeah, once you've done it a bunch and it's there,
and by a bunch, I presume you mean one time, because that's all it really takes.
Yeah.
Cause the South Side, lovely park on a nice day.
Yeah.
And then the whole north side of the island is just apartments and a invalid hospital. So
is that hospital still functioning?
Yeah. It's like if you go over, it's like. It, I don't know if it sounds bad, but it looks like just a bunch of homeless people. They're in wheelchairs. They can't walk. Yeah. A lot of like diabetes patients and stuff like that.
It sounds hilarious. I'm sorry.
That's why they have so many. I push them off. I go over, push them off into the water.
Like, get out of here.
There is a lighthouse at the northern tip of the island.
At the northern tip. Yeah. You know what I like about, because Roosevelt Island, if you don't know, island in the middle of the East River, very long.
Right between Manhattan and Queens.
Yes. And I just like, because it's so long, you do keep referring to the northern and southern tip. When you say tip as a word over and over again, immediately think of penis, you know? And it's just funny to hear.
It's just a word that's been ruined by...
The northern tip.
Not fallacial. Yeah. What am I looking for?
Phallus.
Phallic. Yeah.
Phallic associations.
Phallic associations. There
we
go.
Yeah. The southern tip is what I call my taint. Oh, I'm really glad you like that.
That's
one.
Good. Yeah.
All right.
Oh, but I do. Something about jobs that I wanted to bring up. So I've actually been getting some job offers. Why do you look like you're smiling already?
I'm thinking about that southern tip. That's what I'm calling. I'm just too proud of myself for that stupid fucking joke. I'm so fucking sorry.
Jot it down. Is that some meat to grab onto? You know?
This is why we do it, to mine bits. Keep going.
I was stimulating my southern tip.
Oh, man.
My personal favorite bedroom move. That's why our Melissa's and my sex life is so good. It's because we're stimulating southern tips.
Of somebody stimulating your taint? Let me tell you, maybe we shouldn't.
We've talked about this in private before.
Yeah.
We've talked about this before, and then the whole time... Remember when we had this conversation? And the whole time we were talking about it, I think Melissa hates when I talk about this in public, but I'm going to do it. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry, baby. You and I talked about this in private before. We were like walking down in through Brooklyn or whatever. And then we had this conversation about like B-hole play.
Mm-hmm.
And then the whole time we're talking about the same subject. We were on different pages, remember? You were talking about doing it to the girl that you're
and
having
you were
sex
talking
with.
About having it done.
I was talking about me.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, again, not gay, but...
no, I get it. Yeah.
It's something to play with, you know?
Listen, I've experimented with that, with receiving. It just doesn't...
Do anything?
Get my jollies for me. Maybe I should try it again. I'll try it again.
I don't want to... I talk you into it. Let's just have sex right now, you know? I think there's a time and place for it, you know?
Yeah.
It's a very parental, like... Not here, but, you know, somewhere.
Mm-hmm. I remember we talked about, for me and my beloved,
mm-hmm.
oh God, we went a hard b-hole play at the beginning of our relationship.
Oh, yeah.
And then it truly did become, like at some point, and it occurred to me throughout all this, like, no matter what you're doing in the beginning of your relationship, it does become old hat at some point. Because now, like, for traditional meat and potatoes sex has become, like, exciting for us. And anytime it's like, do you want to do some butt stuff? We're both just like, yawn, you know? I guess. It's fine.
What do you want? I want you to stay still. Oh.
Oh, how hot that is.
Yeah. You're naughty.
Yeah. So that's my advice. Start hot. And that way, when you cool off, regular sex becomes...
Dive in head first into the deep end.
Yeah. Yeah,
you deep end, also another word for my taint.
Yeah.
So.
We are both going to get in a lot of trouble.
I know. Luckily, this won't come out for several weeks. So.
Yes. Yeah. We have time to long emotionally enough to prepare.
Long enough for them to forget and for my beloved to stop listening.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That's how you can gauge if she's listening. If the new episode comes out and she's like, yeah, it was great. And you're like... Was it great? You should be fucking furious right now.
You don't get it. You never listened to me or my projects. So the one thing I was going to ask about job stuff is I am getting offers. I've gotten like some hits back, and then I've turned a couple offers down because they're wildly below my salary like asking price.
Oh, really?
You know, like almost half of what I'm asking for. Oof. And so I got one. So this weekend, I've also sent out so many applications. I'm still keeping. I was like, I've broken 400. It's crazy. I just did a full like redesign.
You
of
have
mine.
Sent out 400 applications?
I've sent out. Yeah, it's I mean, so many.
People should give you a standing ovation every time you email their office.
I would actually keep a standing ovation. Give me a job. Mm-hmm. That's what I would take. So I just did a full redesign on myself. I've sent out to so many, and then everyone starts to blend together. And I'm just saying all this to preface that this weekend we were at the house, family's in town. We were playing like apples to apples or something. And we were all drinking, and I was a little bit drunk, and I was like casually scrolling on my phone through job like postings and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I found one on Craigslist, and they did that thing. They do this thing that's like kind of a cutesy, like we're looking for that OCD copywriter, blah, 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 job description. And at the end, it's like all interested applicants should send us this, this, and this. Also, there's a typo in our posting in our ad, and you should tell us what the typo is along with your name and position you're applying for in the subject line. And I've had a couple of those. Can you see how angry I'm getting already?
Yeah.
I was just, it's just like a cutesy thing. And so then I was like, I am about to fucking ream these guys. And so I was like, in the subject line, I put my name, the job, and then it was excellent. And then they misspelled excellent. That was the whole typo. They spelled it E-X-C-E-L-L-A-N-T rather than L-L-E-N-T.
Yeah.
And then so I said my name and then the job position and then excellent. And then in parentheses, I put, but this was just one of many typos you guys made. And then I went through and I just laid into them hard. I was like, you guys, you had two different styles of bulleted list in here, both of which were wrong grammatically and all this stuff.
So that's great, though. Because I think if they're saying we need an obsessive compulsive, like then you're coming at it like this made me furious. When really it's just their arrogant stance.
Yeah,
like, see if you can.
Yeah,
but it's like, all right,
see if you. Yeah, I hate that. So I responded to them, and then I was like, you know what? I've sent so many normal, boring jobs. Hey, I'm Jordan. Blah 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 blah.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I was like, you know what? Fuck it. And then I just threw caution to the wind. Sent that email. Got a response today from them. They were like, look, we want to bring you in.
Yeah.
And then most places will be like, we want to bring you in. What time's good for you? And you go back and forth deciding on a time. We were like, we want to bring you in. Is Wednesday at 9:30 okay? And I was like, that sounds great. But before I had a chance to respond, last line of the email was, can you also send us your salary expectations? Mm-hmm. And I sent mine, and they were $20,000 less than what I was asking. Yes. So it was almost half. So I was asking for 50 or 55.
Yeah.
And then they were like, this job is at 32. And so I was bringing it up to be like, you know, I don't have anything else. Do I do it?
I mean, it doesn't hurt to at least go in for the interview.
That's
true,
right?
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah. You should go in for the interview. I don't know, man. I'm such a – here's the thing about how we are different is like you have had a real adult job. I have never, I mean, I got fired from UPS when I was like 25. So
yeah, but
I don't fucking know anything.
I just got fired from a real job.
Yeah,
so
but you had it.
Yeah, it's true. But however, have I ever told you how I got the job? I lied my way into it hard. So the whole thing with the creative industry and working out as like a copywriter or art designer mm-hmm. is that you need to have like an online portfolio. You need to have like a portfolio of like, here's the work I've done in real life, or sometimes they call it spec work. And that just shows what you're capable of thinking of. Like mm-hmm. I know how to approach a campaign or whatever it is. I got the internship at my last job, which turned into a full-time job because my friend who is a copywriter, who's been in it several years, gave me all of his pieces that he doesn't use anymore. So I lied. They were like, and not only that, I failed out of college.
Yeah,
summer
you did
of 2016.
Tell me that. Yeah. You already had the position.
I had the position.
Right?
Yeah. I had the internship. I was in school mm-hmm. and then I got the internship like the last week of school or last couple of weeks. I was going to say because I got the internship, I stopped caring, but I stopped caring a long time ago in school.
Sure.
And so I not only did I not graduate, but I never had done any copywriting work. Ugh. But I knew enough.
The more that you go into detail about the story, the more like profound profound respect I have for you. I fucking love it. I think it's so great. I love more than anything hearing the myth of like how prepared you need to be and how professional you need, like, just I love hearing that shattered.
Yeah,
because it is true. That is oh my god, this is gonna be very too inside, but there is a really such a funny comedian, Mike Leibovitz, from Chicago, and he has a bit right now about he has a child, that he keeps taking to school, and he has a PTA meeting, and the principal or somebody is very mad at him because his child is lady on his account to fucking like preschool or kindergarten, and she's like, it's kindergarten, it counts now. The crux of the bit is he's like, it fucking never counts. If you hear this, I'm sorry for
butchering it.
Yeah, or just severely truncating the bit. But I just love that because it's so true. Like,
What if I became a Leibovitz fan off you?
Off of that?
But I'm only a fan of his.
Everybody should be a Mike Leibovitz fan.
I'm only a fan of his when you're retelling his bits. I'm like, man, Leibovitz has this great joke that Sam retells.
Yeah. And he cuts a lot out.
They say you should edit and edit. And boy, does Sam edit. You really don't. You really don't need.
No.
And then, but you know, maybe that's why I got fired, is because I started to lose track of my roots and where I came from, and I get in and I think I'm worth more than I am. And it's like, buddy,
you're coasting a little too hard,
buddy. You got a high school diploma and a used 2-year degree. Like, you don't have a degree. You lied your way into this job. Stop thinking that you're better than you are.
Yeah.
And I think that's what got me axed.
But also, I mean, it is so easy to lie about having a degree. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't think it doesn't matter.
I don't think people are calling the fucking office of, or the dean's office, right?
Yeah.
Nobody is checking. Just have the balls to lie. Skip school.
You know how... Skip school.
I fucking mean it.
I know.
Unless
did
you...
Did you go to school?
Yeah, and I have never used
my graduate?
Fucking English... Yeah, I did graduate.
English degree.
Yeah, English
degree.
That's
what I was trying to get.
Fucking doesn't mean dick. I've never used it. But, I mean, if you're not, like, a fucking mathematician, an engineer, doctor, lawyer. Actually, you know what, lawyer? You're full of shit. If you're good at arguing, just lie.
Yeah.
You know, like.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Right? I just realized that nobody checks, first of all. You're totally right. Nobody checks. But even if they were, like, I had an employer that was going to go check, that's more than I can do. Because I failed out and I got suspended and I owe the school money, they lock your records. So it's like, I can't even call and check on my own records, you know?
Yeah.
But my employer could be like, well, you're, it actually says you're a credit away from graduating. I'm like, well, that's great. I didn't even know that, you know? Like, I'm glad you guys checked on it for me. But
yeah. That would be such a funny documentary series. Like, if we had the money and the know-how to, like, do that, I think that'd be such a funny series. It's just you and I are idiots, right? But we just lie
our way into jobs.
Yeah. And we just lie, and then we like study up for an interview to fucking know how to bullshit, and we see how high of positions we can even, like,
oh my god,
get a third interview for. And just, yeah, if they, I mean, we would get sued, I think, by people.
You think?
Well, just because I mean, obviously, we wouldn't take, like, a high... We would be like, I'm sorry, it won't work out. But, yeah, actually, maybe we never fess up to them that we...
Well, that's the thing. It's like, maybe you can get sued because on job applications, they have a thing where it's like, I attest that... I do solemnly swear that everything I've written on this application is true and not faulty.
Yeah.
So if you're... If, like, we're applying for positions and it's like... if we're applying for positions, then we have to agree to that. Then we get that far into the process, like, and they find out, it'd be like, well, you guys fucking lied to us.
Yeah, that's true.
But what a good idea.
But if we're just trying to get to the point where they say, hey, we'd love to hire you, mm-hmm. or even like a fucking third interview would be crazy for high level shit.
That's,
you know,
such a good idea.
Yeah, and just see how far we can take it. And
I'm copyrighting. Like, we're copyrighting this right now. It's a thick boy's idea.
Yeah, if you fucking steal this idea,
we should really
Morgan
talk about
Spurlock or some other cutting edge documentarian.
What if we became? My only hesitation is I don't want to become a documentarian.
Those no, I don't want to either. Sure.
Morgan Spurlock.
But I do think that is such an interesting point that should be explored. Like, if you lie and then it's like, it's not like a job where like lives are at stake, right? Then fucking go for it.
Hell yeah. That's such a good idea.
That's, I mean, remember
that. So tell me a little bit about yourself.
Remember that movie, Catch Me If You Can?
Yeah.
Like that. I mean, he's obviously like he poses
committing
like
financial
a
fraud
pilot.
And check fraud.
Yeah, yeah. But he poses a pilot and also
doesn't fly, right?
Just hitches rides on jets, which is common in the industry, I guess.
That's crazy.
For that time. Then he poses as a doctor and just took a night shift and was just supervising residents.
Yeah.
So he just was like, you do it, you know? And then for the third one, and apparently this is true, or the guy claims that it's true because it's based off a true story. He was a lawyer, I think, in Louisiana, and the FBI agent was like, how did you pass the bar? I know you. And the guy's like, I did pass the bar. He's like, I studied for like a month, just studied my ass off, and I passed the bar.
Oh, my God. Frank Herbert, whatever.
Frank Abagnale, I think.
Yeah.
Maybe Frank Abagnale Jr.
Oh, my God. He passed the bar.
That's what he claims. Yeah.
Wow.
So it's like, fucking, yeah, if you can just lie your way in and then cut the mustard. What's, you know, perception's reality, right?
That's so true.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great. We'll have to talk about that a little bit more because that is a great idea.
Yeah, I love it.
And if there's anything I'm about, it's piggybacking on your success and your talent.
Yeah. If there's anything that we're both about, it is about not working as hard as we should.
Also, there's a little bit that idea of like of the documentary of like lying your way into jobs. Like, I feel like that we could just do that about comics in New York already, you know, like how. It's like, oh, well, we're already trying to scrape by no matter what, doing what we love. But
that's I mean, we probably have just such a large pool of people to draw from.
Yeah, an episode? Probably another podcast idea, you know?
Yeah.
This is the podcast of podcast ideas. So.
Yes. okay.
So I don't know whether, sort of back to, I think that I'm going to go in and try and get, and try and accept, like, you know, meet with them about that job.
I am not ignoring you. I just realized I did not put my phone on airplane mode, and I keep getting texts, so I'm just trying to turn that
never
on.
Put it on.
It's okay. It's
that's
okay.
That's why I get.
I think you at least take the interview. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. That's good. Don't have to take it.
Yeah.
But just be like, and also, you know, like, I mean, this is like a shitty way, and obviously you would need to sugarcoat it differently, but like if a job is paying you $55,000, you're asking price, right?
Yeah.
That's like a pretty big, like, it's a good salary. Mm-hmm. And so it's like a huge commitment, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And obviously, like, you're still working full time for $32,000, but it's also like, I don't know. You don't need to worry about it as much if they're not paying you as much.
That's a very good point, yeah.
Right.
The other thing is also that, what if I go into it, if I agree, I'm like, yeah, I could settle for that. They know that I'm settling. Like, now that she knows what I'm asking, she knows that I'm settling for that. I think they will have a good idea that it's like, okay, well, the next good offer that comes up, this guy's leaving.
Yeah.
And so that may make them hesitant to hire me.
That's true.
You know?
Or it might put you in a good position for a raise. Wait, I'm sorry. I don't know if I followed your logic on that last part.
She's like, the HR chick is like, how much are you expecting to get paid? And I tell 55. Her 55 and she's like, well, this job is offering 32. Let me know if you still want to meet. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, you know, I told her, I was like 55, but willing to negotiate, but that's a huge negotiation. That's too much.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, you know, I emailed her back and I was like, I would love to meet the team. So if I come in and then it gets far enough, I think they would be hesitant to hire me at that salary price because they know my original asking price.
And you would be likely to leave.
And I would be more likely to leave than somebody coming in asking for 30.
That's
you know?
True. And it is an investment to train a new employee.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
Wow. The professional. And see, that's the kind of information that I would use in an interview to be like, I know what I'm talking about. I know how the professional world works.
I people say that, but I think just in any industry, I like, or anybody in any industry. Jesus Christ, I can't get it out. These new teeth are betraying me. there's that like imposter syndrome in any industry is what I'm saying.
Oh, for sure. And I mean, that's like, just a common.
Yeah, right.
When they, that's the thing I heard about. I'm sorry, I'm cutting you off.
No, no, no. Go ahead. Go
when I first read about imposter syndrome, I was like, what a revelation this is. I have it so much. But then I was like, is it a syndrome if every person I've ever met in my life has it?
Yeah,
isn't
right?
Isn't that just how people are?
Because the opposite is like somebody who is just an asshole. Yeah, and they're like, just I belong here.
Blindly confident. Yeah.
And we laud those people. And
yeah.
And
yeah, those people don't have a syndrome. You got to be fucking out of your mind. Right.
Yeah, so
it should be called "I can't believe you don't have imposter syndrome." That should be it.
That should be it. That's
and the
great.
Rest of us are that's fucking so normal.
I know. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I mean, like, you say that, and you're like, you're impressed, but I'm like, I've had a real job, but like the whole time I was at my real job, I was like, I hope they don't know that I'm not supposed to be here. It's like and then one day they were like, oh yeah, he's not supposed to be here. And they let me go. So,
yeah. But I would say on the other end, but there are people who that has happened to who are fully accredited. Right.
Right.
I mean, that sucks for them, but that is true.
That's
right?
True. Yeah.
So what does that say about them? Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think it's all a sham.
Yeah. Because the alternative is like trying to find a job in a different industry. Mm-hmm. Fuck, why can't everybody just manage their expectations? I applied to a job today, actually, and it was called Appear Here, and it was as a copywriter for realty listings. And then Sam just made a grimacing face. And then in the application, they had the audacity to ask the question, why are you excited about this opportunity with Appear Here?
I fucking hate that.
I think I've applied there twice. The first time I applied was like back in December. First time I applied, I was like, this is a bullshit question and I'm not playing the game. And so I answered, I was like, I've just grown really addicted to not starving to death. And then this time I was like, fucking, I gotta play the game. You. And I was like, I forgot what I said. I was like, the opportunity to write and change people's lives seems really exciting to me.
Why do you want to work here? I fucking have to.
Yeah.
I need to work somewhere. I
hate it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have to work somewhere, right? Yeah. So.
That never is not, because I feel like I've heard that as a joke, but for places like McDonald's, where it's like, why do you want to work here? It's like, oh, well, I've always been inspired by me. But that never goes away. There's never like a...
It's at every level of the industry. Yeah.
Even if you are interested in the field or anything like that, you're still like, well, I'm a human. Like, I have to work to eat.
For sure.
Yeah.
And I think that the higher you go up, like each level that you go up, even if you're in like the blue collar world or the white collar world, your answer to that question needs to become more substantial.
Oh, it's gonna be great. You better have a fucking novel.
Oh,
ready.
It better be great. Right. Yeah. So like the CEO of a company or like, whatever, the chief CFO comes in, they're like, why do you want to work at this agency or company? And they're like, well, and then not only are you supposed to have a great answer, but you're also supposed to be so knowledgeable in your industry and, and be like, well, I've been monitoring your guys' company for a long time and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, I just want to go somewhere and they will just pay me and I can just kind of zonk out for 8 hours, Let me be an administrative assistant or something. Yeah. So
I think about that, I always think like really like when they're like, what is your greatest strength? I'm like, oh, I'm just wildly agreeable.
Yeah.
Like, you're never going to see me at work and be upset to see me.
Yes.
I'm likable enough. I'm nice. I'm not a psycho.
I'm with you 100%, bud.
And then my greatest weakness is that I have no real skill. That's it. Like, that's my honest thing. Yeah. I don't.
Yeah.
I'll even say like, no, I have like an okay work ethic. No skill whatsoever. Fucking
because like hard work ethic is just something you're supposed to everybody has, right?
Yeah.
That's everybody's got that, and you're just like, not even that.
Can you imagine somebody with the balls to just say like, what's your greatest weakness? Work ethic. You gotta hire that guy.
Yeah,
on the
right
spot.
It's just, like, this guy is honest.
He is so confident. So good. In who he is.
That's actually interesting that you mentioned that, because I kept thinking that a bunch when I got fired. I was like, I think one day, I just want to like exclaim it to the heavens and like, I'm not hard to work with. Like, and that's the thing I kept coming back to. It is such a cliche of like getting fired and like getting broken up with, like that parallel.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's just so apt. But I was just like, I'm not hard to work with. So if there's a problem here, if there's an interpersonal communication problem, it's not me. It's you guys. Yeah, yeah. It's you.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've been here a year and a half.
Uh-huh.
Can you tell I'm so bitter about this firing? I hate it.
Yeah. Well, and it's also like not even not hard to work with, but like I'm pretty like if I've made a mistake, I'll fucking cop to it hard, right? All the time.
People
probably
don't,
will cop
though.
To mistakes that I haven't made.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
I think sorry, I cut you off.
No, go ahead. That was all.
No, keep going.
Well, just yeah, like if I like I'm the kind of guy who like if you're coming like off or I'm coming off the elevator and you get in my way, I'll say sorry.
Yeah.
And it's like, wait, but that's never that's the rule.
Yeah.
You let the people off.
That's yeah. And I forgot what you just said, but yeah, it's I'm like that too. It's like I'll call up, I'll be like, I have no problem being like, look, I apologize. This is what I did wrong. I'm sorry, and I will work to not do it again. I know the 3-part apology. Like, you know, I know how it works. But the people that don't apologize are the ones that get ahead, I feel like. They're the ones who are like, my shit doesn't stink. This is on you, you know? And
yeah.
And apologizing is a sign. That was actually one of my New Year's resolutions, was to apologize less.
Yeah, I've written that resolution down and then completely forgotten about it a couple weeks.
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
It's also a hard thing to, I think I wrote this down, like a hard thing to overcompensate for, because there's no like equalizer for it. You know, you just have to stop doing a thing.
Yeah.
But it seems like, in my mind, it always makes me feel like I'm being aggressive if I'm not apologizing. So to just not apologize, to me, always seems to be like,
it's not very aggressive.
Oh, fuck you. Or,
right.
You know, like,
the like it's
the absence
the exact
of a sorry
absence.
Seems
or,
like a fuck you. Yeah. Which is not true, but that's just how crazy my mind is.
I'm with you. I feel the exact same way. Are we vibing?
We're vibing.
I think we're vibing right now.
I got to be honest with you. Of all the things that we had written down to talk about today, I can't believe that job stuff has been by far. And I'm happy about it. But it is far and away the meatiest.
It really is.
Of the topics
so
far.
Yeah. I was not expecting.
Yeah.
Because on the board, it just says new job, which is pretty boring.
And
but
of all the things on the board, it's not even, I mean, one of them's weird.
Yeah.
All right. Should we get to the next thing?
I want you to get to the next thing.
Right,
so a little bit of preference. Sam.
Preference.
A little bit of, to preface it.
Yes.
There we go.
A little bit of preface.
What the fuck to you, bro?
Is that grammatically correct to say a little bit of preface?
That seems right.
I tried to correct you, but now I think my correction might also be wrong.
Acting as a noun, preface, a little bit of preface to the story.
Yeah.
Yeah. That
it is a preface is a noun.
Yeah.
Can you say a little bit of preface? We are fucking so stupid.
No.
I can't believe we're like, let's just see how
if
good
you know
of jobs we can get.
Question.
And we are so stupid. Man, what the height of arrogance that we just displayed. I bet I could probably get a VP in charge of sales position if I'm confident. Preference? I'm an asshole.
That's so funny. I would say that you could, if preface is a noun, then you could say
a little bit of preface.
A little bit of preface. Because a preface, a little preface.
A
little bit of preface to the story. Sam texted me out of nowhere, and he's like, boy, do I have a story for the pod.
Yeah.
But you texted to me. I could sense the urgency in the text.
Oh,
did it? Had it just happened?
It was later in that day.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Is that right? Yeah, it is.
So, I actually found out what it was. Did you? Oh, yeah, you told me.
I just texted you what happened.
Yeah.
I was like, because I don't want to spoil the whole story, but God. Okay.
But I think you talked about it on stage that night. You had a show that night, and you talked about it on stage.
Yeah, and I've talked about it on stage a little bit. I'm very back and forth about whether I'll keep, because when I talk about it, it is funny, but then it really very apparently becomes like I don't have an ending for it, and it's also like so embarrassing.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I want to be, okay, and I say this without judgment, great comedians who do, but I don't know if I want to be a comedian who talks. All right, so I sharted on my own futon. Everybody, that's what we're talking about. I sharted on my own futon.
Oh, God.
And I need you to know, I don't mean like I sharted on my futon, got up and was like, well, I have to clean myself. I mean, I sharted and it got on my futon. So really, at that point, it just becomes, I shit on my futon.
Let's pull back a second.
Okay.
Your futon is the couch in your living room.
It is.
I feel like if I don't set that up, then people just think you only have a futon.
Oh, and you're like sitting on my futon right now?
And no, not just that. I want to build your character back up a little bit. you don't sleep on a futon. This isn't the futon in your bedroom, and you didn't shit on the only form of mattress that you have
no.
in your room. Yes.
No.
This is in the arguably worse.
It's the shared piece of furniture.
Yes. Okay.
So, and it I wish that there were more like something got in the way. But there, to quote another great bit from a great comedian, my friend Mike Cronin, friend of the pod, he has a great bit where he goes, I shit myself 3 times last year, and 2 of those times there were no story. It's like, do you understand the importance of that? It's like, it's not like I was in traffic. It's a really good bit. You should check out his album called Hot for Too Long, which... That is the punch of that joke.
Oh, goes, is it?
He goes, I just farted, and I was like, that was hot for too long. That's the other thing.
Oh, my God, that's great.
That's such a good bit.
You
yeah.
just said the punchline of that bit. I didn't even hear the rest of it, and that's a great bit.
That's such a good, and you should, my friend Mike Cronin is one of the funniest people I know. Check out that
hot
out.
For too
yeah, yeah.
long.
Yeah, and that's the other thing. I honestly don't even know if I want to do a bit about it, because that his joke is fucking exactly what happened.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I was reading on the futon. I fucking fart, and I was like proud of the fart too. I was by myself. I was just like, fucking yeah, that's thick and it stinks. And then like 30 seconds later, I was like, oh, fuck. So that's another, I can't, because that's exactly what happened. Yeah.
Yeah.
I got to pick better words than that. That's never going to happen.
Hot for too long.
So
what were you reading?
I was reading a really good book called Annihilation. It's like a weird, it's a little bit sci-fi, but it's more of a psychological thriller.
Ironic name.
And apparently it's coming out as a, fuck you. Apparently it's coming out as a Natalie Portman movie at the end of this month, February 23rd. I'm going to go see it.
Oh, I think, is it in the woods?
It's in the woods.
Okay, I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, boy, really, really burying the lead on this. So farted, and then yeah, just sat, and I was like, oh fuck. And then I swear to God, it was hilarious, because my levels of discovery of how bad it was get up, go to the bathroom,
mm-hmm.
Pull my pants down, look at my boxers. It is wet with like a liquidy shit.
Oh no.
And in my defense, like, it's not like I just shart all the time. It turned out to be a preamble to some pretty vicious diarrhea. But anyway. Anyway, I look, it's through the underwear, and I'm like, ah, fuck. And then it goes through to...
Manageable at that point.
Yeah. What I will admit are my favorite pair of sweatpants that I have kept. I threw away the underwear. I'm not throwing away
the
sweatpants.
Was it the joggers?
It is the joggers.
You love those.
I love them. I'm not going to... And I washed them on hot. I washed them twice.
Yeah.
And they smell fine. But I checked my new favorite joggers. Shit on the joggers. I go, oh, fuck. And then I look on the back of the joggers. Wet shit. And then I go, oh God. No. Pull everything back up, because there's no time.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I am alone in the apartment except for my roommate, Virginia, who's in her room. And I'm like, I got to take care of this before Virginia finds out.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
And then I go back out, and there is, and it's not a ton, but it's enough that you can see.
It's somebody's
my ass cheek prints, and then the crack of my ass.
The roar shit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The roar shit. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You can see my ass cheeks. And then ironically, where the shit comes out of your ass crack, right? There's nothing there. It's because your butt cheeks are into, it's like a butt imprint on a couch.
Yeah, yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So that, and it's not like my full ass cheeks, but it's definitely like you could see, and you're like as soon as you see the shape, you know exactly what happened.
Yeah.
You're like, oh my God.
So you're saying it's like the skinny, it's like a wine glass or two people kissing type.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Okay.
Like as soon, like the most basic of shit detectives could be like, oh, it was a shart and somebody moved too slowly. You know, immediately.
That's so funny.
Yeah. And so I go back to the bathroom. I take off my underwear in sweatpants, and I put on my bathrobe over it. So then I'm...
you went from so shitty to classy.
Yeah. Let's class it up a bit.
When's the last time you worn that bathrobe?
As I am in the bathroom, I hear Virginia open her room's door, and then I'm like, oh no, she's gonna see the shit. But it's not that conspicuous.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty inconspicuous.
Yeah,
if you're not looking for it, I bet you don't see it.
Yeah. It's a race against time. Yeah, at this
and
point.
I think that she came out of her bathroom to her room to use the bathroom, saw that I was in there and went back. But in my mind, I'm like, she came out and she saw the shit. Me, mentally, I was there. We were both just putting around doing chores.
Mm-hmm.
She was like in and out doing laundry, and I was doing dishes. And then when she was gone, furiously cleaning up the shit.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But in my mind, mentally, I'm like, well, this is just a game of cat and mouse with him. Where you know that I sharted on the couch, and I know that I sharted on the couch.
Oh, man.
And so she leaves, and I clean it with a little bit of soap, a little bit of water, and it comes out relatively quickly. And to let you know, there's a futon, and then there's a futon cover that my roommate, my Cody, got. And it comes out pretty quickly, but it's still wet. I go out and buy that, to your left, Febreze.
Oh, yes.
Fabric spray. I spray it, and then I wait. And even though it's visibly dry, when I put my hand down, it's still wet underneath. I'm like, okay, well, I can't leave like that and then have somebody sit and there's a wetness.
Yeah.
And then they smell the wetness. They smell Febreze, but still underneath that Febreze smell, you can smell shit. And it's not like stinking up the room, but
underneath
it's
underneath
like
it all, it lingers.
Yeah. And eventually I had to go. I was going to my friend Jay Welch's birthday. Very funny comic, Jay Welch. And I leave. As soon as I leave, I call my best friend, Alex Stone, who you know, have met, another funny comic. And I had already texted him earlier in the day. And I had texted him like, well, you want to hear something funny? This morning, I sharted on the couch. but he was like, did it get on the couch? And I was like, no, it didn't get on the couch. I lied to him.
Oh, wow.
Via text. And then when I left, I was so freaked out about it, and I just called him and I was like, I fucking lied to you, man. It got on the couch and I don't know what to do. It's not terrible, but, and he just cried laughing, and he was like, well, you gotta go back. And he was like, just pull that cover off and leave. And so I pull the cover off, and it is again like just a little bit damp underneath, and it's not terrible, but there's just the faintest shit smell.
Oh god.
Underneath. When you and I mean, this is me putting my nose up to it, you know. Mm-hmm.
Really getting in there.
Yeah.
And bad
then,
boy.
And then he was like, I think you just got to just level with him, man. So I'll read the text.
Did you text?
I'll fucking read
oh
it.
Oh, my God.
It's
wow.
So I sent this to Virginia. And
he's right, though. You got to level.
You do. Like, there's no level of, and I don't know what I'm going to do. Okay. So so this is what, I came back. I took the cover off. I threw it away. And then I left. And I sent Virginia this text. I said, Virginia, this morning, while we were both puttering around the apartment, I accidentally sharted on the couch. Please don't sit on it. I will be buying us a new one. I wish this were a fun bit, but it is not. I am very sorry. And then...
Even through the text, you sound so defeated.
I just...
No.
And then a minute later, Virginia, very kindly, kinder than she needed to be, just texted, LOL, thank you for your honesty. And then a little bit later, I called my other roommate, Mike Cody, was in a movie with his girlfriend and her kid. And then he called me when he got out. And I told him then. And he also was crying laughing. And he said, I need you to know that I am in the lobby of a movie theater right now. And people won't stop staring at me because I am laughing so
hard. Oh, my God.
So, now, yeah. And that's where it's at. And the
So you say you're going to replace
futon
or the...
Well, I don't know. Carmen is like, futon mattresses are expensive. And
also, flip that pad, dude.
Well, it's not a flippable pad.
Oh, it's not?
It's like backside of it is like the underside of a box spring almost. Not quite like that.
Oh,
but
gotcha.
You know
okay.
what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
It's not made to be set.
Yeah, yeah.
And Carmen was like, you should just buy a new cover for
yeah.
it. I'm going to talk to them and see if they're okay with that. Because it's like, if they're not, I get it. And I'll buy a new one. But
yeah.
also, it's like, I don't know how they feel. It's, I don't know, man. I'm fucking ashamed of myself. I don't want to buy a whole new futon. So I'm either going to
buy... Do they know
it.
That you shit through the pad onto the, or shit through the.
I mean, I said I sharted on the futon, and then I said, don't sit on it. Yeah, they know the extent. Yeah. And Cody, I told, I was like, it got on there. It's not a ton.
Oh,
but,
yeah.
But what is enough to want you to not sit on? Any amount. Is there any amount of shit on it?
God, that's so funny.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but.
It's okay. I mean, it is very funny. That's I would why say I like said, a like,
heavy duty. Is it? It I mean, you had to tell him, but also.
Yeah.
If you didn't tell him, you could have just gotten a super thick cover again.
Yeah. I think I could have gotten away with it, to be honest with you, but.
It sounded like you were through the thick.
Yeah.
Already.
But it would have been like a really shitty thing to do. You know
oh,
what I mean?
Yeah.
And like.
Literally yeah. and figuratively.
Yeah. So. Yeah, I don't know.
Oh, man.
Yeah, that's why I said, like, you know, you got your fancy new teeth and your new job, and here I am just fucking shitting on my own couch.
I've shit myself before, though.
I have shit myself, too. Not in a long time, though. I'll tell you that.
I sharted myself on a plane on the way to Guam, which is not a short flight. That's a 17-hour flight.
Well, that's less on you. Well, I guess, but they do have bathrooms on the plane.
No, it was on me, for sure. It was all over my pants and butt.
What was the situation? Did it catch you by surprise?
I farted, shouldn't really be farting on planes. So it's already on me to begin with.
I fart on planes.
Do you? I do too. I mean, I think we all do.
Nobody can hear you fart on a plane, right? It's got to be so loud
on
a plane.
That's true. Yeah, yeah.
So.
I forgot where I was the other day, but somebody farted and I got angry. We were in the public spot and it's just like, fucking watch yourself, guys or girls. But I was on a plane. We were on the way to Guam. And I mean, I was like 13 or 14.
Mm-hmm.
Shit my pants, went in the bathroom, didn't break boxer. So I was like, these babies are gone. Tossed them.
Tossed the boxers.
And then just went commando.
Yeah. Did you wash your ass crack?
I did, yeah. Yeah. Wiped. All that stuff, yeah.
Do you wet down some toilet paper? And
I
don't have a very hairy ass or asshole.
I don't either. I don't
okay.
think I do.
Nice.
Have you seen yours?
No. Wait, yeah. No, I have. I have. Very little hair around my
yeah,
asshole,
around
which bodes well for people that take dirty poops.
Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think you get a new cover on that thing.
I think so. Level I'm gonna, with I'm them. Okay it with them mm-hmm. and see how mm-hmm. they feel.
I mean, you could lie a little bit and be like, look.
I think I already told them too much to lie.
I threw away the cover. The rest of the pad is fine. I just like. You know, just in case cleaned it, Febreze'd it. I was planning on just getting a new cover. Is that okay with you guys?
Yeah.
Also, hope they're not listening to this episode.
They probably will, but it'll be too late by then. I thought I okayed it with Micah. I'm so paranoid that I fucked up the levels on this episode. I'm going to be so mad because this has been a really good one. If you out there know anything about podcast audio, just get at me.
This is where you don't give yourself enough credit because... You literally have done all the work for it. Mm-hmm. I could research a little bit. I could watch a YouTube episode on how to
mm-hmm.
finagle with this soundboard. And I've done no work
yeah.
for it. So.
All right.
Go easy on yourself, shit guy.
Thanks, man.
I don't know what I just said right there. But.
Well, we're right at an hour. Probably a little under because, yeah, but... I have one more thing that I do want to run by you.
Yeah, I want to hear this Gremlins clip.
All right, so this is a little inside comedy and a little inside Gremlins, but it just struck me as so funny.
Yeah.
And I wanted to run it by you to see how you feel about it working at this show I'm doing tonight.
Yeah.
So I have, there's two comedians, Mara Wiles and Sarah Kennedy. They have this idea for a show. There's a place called the Countdown Theater in Williamsburg. It just opened up, and it's like this cool arts-based theater, and they do themed shows for a month. So they're doing a month of shows at this place that are independently run, but the theme has to be 1984.
Oh, okay.
And I think the name of the show is called Make a Scene. I hope I'm getting that right. Otherwise, I'm going to feel like a fucking asshole. But the premise is pick a movie from 1984 that you like,
mm-hmm.
and then you, as a comedian, have to reenact that scene, but you are doing all of the roles, which that's pretty funny.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
know? I'm sorry. I'm
looking. Will you show the scene before just to give some?
I don't know if I will or if they'll have it set up that I can do that. You know what I mean? It's called Making a Scene. Movies and
Oh, that is a great. Oh, yeah, that's tonight.
It's a very cool flyer.
Connor Cregan's on that.
Yeah, Connor Cregan's funny. Kathy Humes is great. Courtney McGinnis.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, that's, and then it's run by Mara and Sarah Kennedy. Yeah, it's a really cool idea, and I'm excited.
Yeah.
So I had been putting it off on picking a movie, and I felt like an asshole, and then I kind of panicked. And I just picked Gremlins, not knowing that I like the movie from childhood.
Yeah,
I haven't
yeah.
seen it in a long time. So I rewatched it, and there is a scene. Now, I'm going to set this up for you in terms of exposition in Gremlins. If you haven't seen it, Gremlins, cute little creature, Gizmo, a Mogwai. I think everybody remembers that. He's got yeah. big ears. He's adorable. The premise is you can't get him wet or feed him after midnight. Yeah. Or else
which
they
is
will
too already too weird.
It's too much, right? There's also a lot of logistical holes where, like, they're walking through snow, and it's like, well, isn't he getting wet there, you know?
Oh, yeah.
If
also
you,
wet? It's just like,
yeah.
look, you can't feed these voracious creatures after yeah. midnight.
Feed them brittle, dry crumbs, or else.
Also, don't put water on
if
them.
If they choke and they
fucking
need a
chia?
Drink, don't do it. Just let them choke.
Dry. Only Nature's Valley bars.
Anyway, so if you do get them wet and feed them after midnight, they multiply and they turn into scaly, big-eared, sharp-toothed creatures who are murderous and generally mess shit up. Those are called the Gremlins. So the Gremlins run amok all over this town. This is this is in the midst of this town being destroyed, and there's the male protagonist, Billy, and this girl who, earlier in the movie, it comes out that she does not like Christmas. It's set around Christmas time.
Oh, and yeah, that's right. Yeah.
She won't say why. And this is the scene where she finally says why she doesn't like.
We're an hour 18 into an
hour
46 movie.
And it is such a interesting fucking, I don't know. It just blows my mind. So I'm going to play it for you, okay?
Now I have another reason to hate Christmas.
Hey, what are you talking about?
The worst thing that ever happened to me was on Christmas. God, it was so horrible. It was Christmas Eve. I was 9 years old. Me and Mom were decorating the tree, waiting for Dad to come home from work. A couple hours went by. Dad wasn't home. Mom called the office.
Yeah.
No answer. Christmas Day came and went, and still nothing. So the police began a search. 4 or 5 days went by. Neither one of us could eat or sleep. Everything was falling apart. It was snowing outside. The house was freezing, so I went to try to light up the fire, and that's when I noticed the smell.
I forgot.
Firemen came and broke through the chimney top, and me and Mom were expecting them to pull out a dead cat or a bird, and instead they pulled out my father.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Even Gizmo.
He was dressed in a Santa Claus suit. He'd been climbing down the chimney on Christmas Eve. His arms loaded with presents. He was going to surprise us. He slipped and broke his neck. Died instantly. And that's how I found out there was no Santa Claus.
So
oh, my God.
So that's the fucking scene in the middle of, and it's like
chaos is going
yeah,
on.
It's also like borderline. I mean, it is the Gremlins for that time kind of scary, but it's borderline like a kid's movie. And that is, I was talking to Carmen about it. I'm like, how is the movie just not about this girl and the fucking saddest story I've ever heard in my whole life?
Yeah.
Oh,
it's
horrific. And so, and what I want to do, because I have to play all the parts, there's a couple times, you can't really hear it that well, but there's a couple times through her speech where Gizmo's just like, oh, no. So I think that'd be funny to be like crying doing her speech and then just like,
That's great.
Do you think that would work?
I think it's
because it's so crazy. And yeah, you did.
Are you allowed to make commentary on it?
I think what I am going to do is write in stage direction, and also like do some stage direction as a narrator.
I think it would be good because your synopsis for the beginning that kind of like helped set it up.
Yeah,
I would just like focus on because it's funny because it's like, why is this in this movie at all, you know? Yeah.
And I get it. It makes her character more compelling, I get. But it's like, it's so intense. I can't believe it. Like,
rather than just a car accident on Christmas Day.
Yeah, you know, it's like, gruesome. Fucking
the writers
gruesome.
Were like, okay, how can we really murder Dad?
Yeah, he broke his neck. Like,
also, Dad's kind of an idiot, right? You don't need to go down the chimney, you guys. Yeah. He's doing it at night. Everybody's asleep.
You didn't even ask somebody beforehand about the logistics of that?
Hey, babe. She had to know, right? The
just
mom?
Just put the presents down there and come down by yourself. Get a ladder.
The stairs?
Or a rope.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good.
It's also like, I can't believe, like, why? I think he after the movie, be like, hey, so I don't think we should, let's not date, you know? Seems like you got a lot going on.
I love Christmas.
I love Christmas. I can't stand
it. I don't see you ever coming back from this.
Yeah. So that's pretty crazy.
That's nuts. That's a good
good
spot. Good scene. I think you got
some stuff to work with. Work. Anyway, that's all I wanted to run by you. You got anything else you want?
No, man. That's good.
You got any plugs? You want to plug some stuff?
No, I am actually bowing out of the North Carolina Comedy Festival right now.
Really?
Yeah, I gotta contact him, but
is it?
It doesn't matter because this is coming out much later. But
yeah,
it is on account of the being broke and just being out of the city. You know, being out of the city, not like in case somebody calls and. Wanted me to come in and interview or something like that.
Yeah,
I can't afford to be out for a week. You gotta prioritize right now.
Yeah. I understand.
I think I'm gonna take a, I mentioned it a little bit earlier, but like, we were talking before the podcast. I'm like trying to figure out writing and stuff because I'm like, I realized that my problem was up until now, all of the bits I've had have kind of like fell into my lap in the sense of like, you know, a bit comes to me and I know how it looks like beginning, middle, and after. And so it's just kind of like it comes in my brain and it's just like this perfect little nugget that I just have to dust the dirt off.
Mm-hmm.
But now I'm like entering into this time where it's like, you know, kind of take the next step up of like, well, you know, you really need to sit down and cultivate like your comedic style and stuff.
Yeah.
And so I'm trying to do that. And this is far too philosophical, but I just said all that to be like, I think I'm going to take a break from comedy festivals to like be bad for a little while.
Oh, yeah. 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 Give yourself the room to like. Yeah. Regret. Yeah. And I agree. Because that it like. I was much the same way, even still now. But I try to. Yeah. Like it's very fun. To have like, because you're like a naturally funny person, like you do get bits that come every once in a while that you're just like, oh, this is very easy.
Yes,
like I get how it works. And once you start doing it, you're like, oh, and then it ends like this.
Right.
But it's also like, you know, that doesn't happen for most people. It doesn't happen all the time.
Right.
So it's like, well, how do I get to a place where even if I'm not having all these ideas, I can still sit down or not even sit down, but just dedicate time to figuring out bits.
Yeah. You know? How do I write a joke? I don't know.
Mm-hmm. You know.
Who knows?
Yeah. I get what you mean. It feels like you don't, but you know.
So that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think you're great, man.
Hey, I think you're great, man.
Yeah. Are you sad right now? I swear to God, if you ain't sad.
I'm not sad.
I'm going to kill you.
I'm not sad.
You
I have
teeth.
I'm about to go to
job.
Dinner. Oh,
go to dinner?
Real quick, I went to a jazz club last night.
Oh, yeah.
It was fucking great.
Really?
Super awesome, like, date night spot. Place called Tommy Jazz on the Upper West Side, 53rd and 2nd.
Okay.
It is the bee's knees, man.
The bee's knees.
It's the cat's pajamas. It was so cool. Super tiny. I mean, maybe 25 people can fit in there. It is tiny. It is in a basement underneath a building, and it's like just the front half of the basement.
Oh, my
it's
God.
Crazy. It was so busy when we walked out. We made reservations. Melissa and I tried to go one other time a couple months ago.
Uh-huh.
You walk up. It is a solid steel door. The only window into the place is curtained. Oh. And you ring the doorbell, and then nobody comes to the door until they are either done. The jazz band that's on is either done playing the song or somebody is leaving, which is crazy.
That's nuts.
So we went and tried to get in, waited for like 10 or 15 minutes, buzzed a couple times, and nobody came to the door, so we just left.
That makes it so much better.
Yeah.
I mean, it sucks.
It was really cool.
Yeah.
Awesome food, great drinks.
What's the name of the place?
Tomi Jazz, T-O-M-I Jazz.
Tomi. Tomi Lahren.
Yeah, Tomi Lahren. I don't know.
She's a cunt.
What'd you say?
She's a cunt.
Samuel.
Jordan, we can say it if the person is.
She is an asshole. it's a Japanese jazz spot. Really great.
Yeah.
Very cool. Unlike
should Tomi I not have called Tomi Lahren a cunt on our podcast?
Tomi Lahren.
Tomi Lahren?
Tomi Lahren?
I don't know.
I think she's a cunt because I can't pronounce her name. I hate that I just called her the C word, though. I try and stick with
right.
non-gender
you're
insults.
Right. But also, I don't know. Some of the shit she says... Right.
Yeah, for sure.
I don't know.
Actually, I don't know.
You know what?
I don't
write in and tell me how you feel about what I just called Tomi Lahren.
Tomi Lahren. We need your approval to use the C word.
For Tomi Lahren.
Yes.
So
let us know.
If you are a woman, right? Mm-hmm. We should get approval from a woman. We can't
so.
We can't ask like the men who listen to this.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I think you're great.
I think you're great.
I really hope the sound levels are good on this one because
it
was great.
It's a really good app.
Ah, fuck. You know what? We should get somebody to run the sound for us because.
Is this why people have producers?
I think it might be.
I think so.
Because.
Can't be doing it at all.
We're sitting here, you know. And I didn't cue it up, and that's my job, Jordan.
Wow. Idiot. Just like all of our listeners.
I should. Oh, I'll be.
Oh, yeah. Do you have any plugs?
Ah, fuck. I'll be in Washington, D.C., April 20th and 21st, and San Antonio, Texas, March. You'll figure it out. Bye.